Well, good morning and welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. I am so thankful that you've decided to come and worship God with us today. So thankful that you have decided to brave the ice and the snow to contend with the elements in order to come and be with God's people and to worship and serve Him. I really think that says something about you. That tells me that you're a dedicated person, that you really are dedicated to God. You appreciate Him, that you love Jesus more than you love comfort and ease and that warm bed at home. It tells me that you want to please God and that you want to go to heaven when you die. Now, we've sung about heaven, and we're getting ready to read about heaven, and we're going to talk about heaven. So I'm going to encourage you at this time to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, the last book of your Bible, Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Revelation 21, 1 through 8. So glad you're here with us this morning. We read there, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. And he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I just love reading Revelation chapter 21. Well, we only read verses 1 through 8. I really love reading the whole chapter. As a matter of fact, chapter 22 with that. We'll talk about that tonight if you're willing to come back. But when you think about the book of Revelation, much of it is quite troubling, isn't it? What do we read about in some of those pages, in some of those verses? We read about great beasts with a lot of horns and several heads. We read about dragons, and we read about earthquakes, and we read about plagues. But not in chapter 21. In chapter 21, we read of a brighter and a better day for God's people. We read of a perfect and permanent place. A life, it says, where there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. No more death. And I got to honestly tell you, I've had my fair share of all of that. I'd just soon not have any more. I'm ready for better things. Don't get me wrong. I love my life in Christ Jesus here on planet Earth. I really do. I have a good life. I love my wife. I love spending time with her. I love my brethren in Christ, spending time with them. I love my friends. I love my pets. There's so many things in this life that are good and wonderful. And just there's just so very much to be thankful for on this earth. But when I read Revelation chapter 21, it just reminds me of how much I want to go to heaven. It reminds me of why I want to go to heaven. And I want to share some of those reasons with you this morning. And in no particular order as we go through these reasons why I want to go to heaven. First of all, I want to go to heaven because God is there. God will be there. It said that in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. God Himself will be among them. God will be with us. And we will be with Him. Look, I'm finally going to get to see the most awesome being in the entire universe. Finally, after all this time of worshiping Him and praying to Him and reading about Him, I'm going to get to see Him. I'm going to get to be with Him. And don't get me wrong, I understand that He's with me now. And the Bible tells me that clearly. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says, "The Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, or He will never fail you or forsake you." Jesus said that I am always with you, even unto the end of the age. And He also said, where two or three are gathered in His name, He's going to be there with us. I get that. He is here with us right now when we worship Him in this very special way. He is here with us in our lives individually if we're faithful to Him. As a matter of fact, He said, I'll never leave you. But in heaven, He's not just going to be with me. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be in His holy place. I'm actually going to be in His actual presence. I'm going to never leave that place. And He's always going to be with me, and I'm always going to be with Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 has this to say about God. It says, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him. That's just the simple truth of the matter, isn't it? I love God. I think you love God. But we've never seen Him. I've never laid eyes on Him. And that's the truth of the matter. By faith we walk and not sight, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. While we're here on earth, we walk by faith, not by sight. But there, we will not only be with Him, we will see Him. And we're going to elaborate more about that seeing Him tonight in Revelation 22 when we talk about that. But in heaven, we'll see Him in all His glory. We'll see Him in all His brilliance and all His splendor. And you know what? I'm not about to miss that. I'm not going to let anything keep me from being with God and seeing Him. Another reason why I want to go to heaven is because I will be like Him. Now, we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 that very thing. We read there, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not apparent as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. We're not only going to be with Him where He is, we are actually going to see Him as He truly is, and we are going to be like Him. Now, our flesh prohibits us from seeing God in all His glory right now. We just can't handle a sight like that. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things unto Himself. We're going to undergo a great transformation before we go to that place we call heaven. Now look, we underwent a marvelous transformation when we came to Christ, when He pulled us out of the world and into His body, when He pulled us out of sin and into righteousness, into His kingdom. Talks about that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, how He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. That transference, that translation, that transformation, man, that was just an amazing thing. But John, in 1 John 3 and verse 2, in that passage we just read, he essentially said there, you know what? You ain't seen nothing yet. He said, it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Now, really, that phrase doesn't do any justice to the meaning there. The New Living Translation, which is actually a paraphrase, but I like the way it puts this verse, it renders that verse as, you can't even imagine. And I really think that's what John's telling us there. This is just the tip of the iceberg here on planet Earth. Wait till you get a load of what it's going to be like in that day. When you undergo that change, when you undergo that transformation, we're going to be like He is. We're going to see Him for who He is, and we're going to be changed and be like Him. Right now, we can't even look at Him, but then we're going to be like Him. You know what? I got to tell you, I'm ready for that change. I just can't wait for that change. Have you ever noticed that here on earth, things generally tend to change for the worse? Now, those of you who are younger, you might not be able to see that yet, but just wait a few years, you wait a few decades, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But when that change comes, when I'm changed on that day, when I'm changed for the very last time, it's going to be a change for the better. It's going to be a change for the best. But do you know the main reason why I'm ready for that change? It's because change here on earth is a constant reminder of just how temporary any good thing is on this earth. Did you know that? We have so many good things on this earth, but it's all temporary. And look, I'm tired of temporary. I'm tired of things changing on this earth. I'm ready for some permanent. I'm ready for some eternal. And that's what I'm looking forward to in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53 give me a little bit of a hint of how that's going to be. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 50, says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." We're going to be changed immortally, eternally. And you know what? That verse there says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'm glad flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because I'm tired of the flesh and blood. I'm tired of my flesh changing, aren't you? That gets on my nerves. Every month when I look in the mirror, I recognize that guy a little bit less and a little bit less. I tell you, I'm tired of that. I don't like the changes that I'm seeing. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not giving up. I'm not losing faith. I'm not ready to cash in my chips. But I'm tired of my flesh corrupting. I'm tired of my flesh hurting. Are you? You ever get tired of that? I'm tired of my feet hurting. I'm tired of my elbow hurting. I'm tired of my head hurting. I'm tired of my sinuses hurting. I'm tired of cholesterol clogging up my veins and my arteries. I'm tired of arthritis stiffening and hurting my joints. I'm ready to put on that immortality. I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that last change, the last change I'll ever make in my everlasting life. I am ready for that. Now, I hope I've got a lot more living to do on earth. I really do. I hope I have a lot more time to spend here, because look, I know I have a lot more work to do. But you know what? When I read passages like this, I just can't wait to go to heaven. I want to go home, where my true home is, not on this earth. The next reason I want to share with you why I want to go to heaven is because it's safe there. Let's read some more of Revelation chapter 21 together. Let's read verses 23 through 27. It talks about the safe place that heaven is. We read there, "The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, did you catch what he wrote there? How safe it's going to be? Heaven's gates will never be closed. And the reason for that is there's no danger of any kind. No evil can enter into that kingdom, into that heavenly kingdom, into heaven itself. There'll be no predators there. There's not going to be any crime whatsoever in heaven. The thought of that just thrills me. You know what? I'm tired of being too afraid to walk my garbage can to the yard in front without feeling like I have to lock the door in back before I do that. I'm tired of that. That's just how paranoid I am of sneaky, dishonest, dangerous, unlawful people coming into my house and doing something despicable. In all honesty, I'm not sure if that's paranoia than more like realism. I think it's just a realistic view of this world. You just can't trust people. We got to lock our doors just when we walk outside. You know what else I'm tired of? I'm tired of pedophiles. I'm tired of hearing about them. I'm tired of reading about them. I'm tired of hearing about grown men preying on innocent children. That disturbs me more than anything in this world. That's the worst kind of degenerate that could ever exist. Let me ask you, do you believe in monsters? They're real. They exist. They walk around. They roam the earth in men's clothing. Only a fiend would prey on a helpless child. And look, I'm frightened for my own child because of people like that. No neighborhood is safe from a pedophile. Youngsters, they're vulnerable in their schools. They're vulnerable in universities. They're vulnerable in churches. And I'm tired of creeps like that who put young people's lives at risk and peril just all the time. You know, I'm just tired of crime in general. I have security cameras mounted on the walls of my house because of crime. Did you know? I'm not so sure that I won't have bars installed on the windows next. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of danger. I'm tired of feeling vulnerable. I'm tired of just feeling like I'm just always in harm's way. Do you ever get tired of feeling that way? In heaven, it's not going to be an issue. We're not going to have to worry about that. God is going to be there and He's going to take care of everything. It is a safe haven. I'm not going to have to worry about anybody vandalizing my property in the dead stillness of night in heaven. Did you know that? And one of the reasons why is because there's going to be no night there. It's always going to be daytime there. The sun is always going to be shining brightly. The Son of God is going to be the light in that place. It's going to be the warmest, safest, coziest place to live in all existence. Heaven is the place I want to be. It is the safest place. Another reason why I want to go to heaven is because I'm tired of loss. I'm tired of losing things, aren't you? Of losing youth, of losing health, of losing friends, of losing family. You know, verse 4 says there in Revelation 21 that there's going to be no more death in heaven. I say hallelujah to that. I'm so tired of death. Now listen to me. I'm not afraid to die. God has taken care of that for me. Jesus took the hit for me. He's paid the price for me, and He has secured my way to heaven. I'm not afraid to go, but you know what? I don't want to die. I really don't. Death is my enemy. The Bible tells me so. It's a mortal enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. It is an enemy. Don't you doubt it for a minute. I'm tired of death. I'm tired of watching good people die, and I'm tired of watching good people cry because of that. But in heaven, I'm never going to lose another friend. I am never going to lose another brother or another loved one. It's not going to happen. I'm never going to lose one more drop of salt water from my eye because a loved one passed away. So looking forward to that. I'm tired of losing things. And more importantly, I'm tired of worrying about losing things. You know, Jesus tells me in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about things. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. But you know what? I worry anyway. I do. I worry about things. I worry about whether I'm going to be able to take care of my wife and my daughter in the future. I worry about how long I'm going to be able to do that. How much longer as I grow older I'm going to be able to do that. But Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. How are treasures going to be in heaven? He says, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. You know what he's telling me there? There's going to be real treasure in heaven, not the junk that we cherish here on earth. Not anything that rusts or breaks down or tears up or walks away. Nothing like that's going to be in heaven. Thieves can't touch it. The elements can't crack it or warp it. Moths or termites or squirrels can't chew on it and ruin it. It's going to be safe. It's going to be real treasure. Incorruptible. Undefiled. There's no way any harm can come to it. Now look, I'm storing my treasures up in heaven, but I want to go get them. I want to go play with those things. I want to go enjoy them. I want to go be with my treasures. That's another reason why I want to go to heaven. And yet another reason why I want to go to heaven is because it is the most beautiful place ever. Revelation 21:21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. What is heaven going to look like? You know, I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew. I didn't even put a picture of an artist's depiction of heaven up on the PowerPoint screen, if you noticed that, because it wouldn't do it any justice. God tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love Him. We don't have a clue of what it's going to look like. Do you think you've seen beauty in your life? I got to tell you, I've seen some marvels to behold in my life. Just some beautiful things. I've seen the sunrise in the mountains of Hawaii. I've seen the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico. I have seen just the wonders of nature while hiking through the hills and the canyons of western Tennessee. I've seen some beautiful things, but you know what? I just haven't seen anything yet. I haven't seen real beauty yet. I've seen beautiful people, beautiful babies. All babies are beautiful. I've seen beautiful animals. I've seen beautiful jewelry like the pearls that the gates in heaven are going to be made of. I've seen precious metals like the gold that the streets of heaven are going to be made of, but I just haven't seen anything yet. If I miss out on heaven, I will never get to see true, immaculate, incorruptible, perfect beauty. And I'm not going to miss that for anything on this earth. Two more reasons why I want to go to heaven, then we'll be done. The next one is because the best people are going to be there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us about that great cloud of witnesses. Remember that passage there? After we read in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and that great cloud of witnesses that's gathered around us, urging us on to be faithful so we won't miss heaven, so we'll make it there, to run the race with endurance. You think about the people who are in that cloud. We're going to see them in heaven. People like Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, David, Samuel. You know, I can't wait to see those. I'm going to be with them in heaven. But better than that, I'm going to be with you in heaven. I'm going to be with God's people. I'm going to be with my brethren. I'm going to be with the people I love the most in heaven forever. I'm going to be with you. I'll see you there. I'll live forever with God's people. You know who I love more than anybody on God's green earth? It's God's people. I love my workmates. I love my neighbors who live in our neighborhood. I love my brothers and sisters and family and friends who are not Christians, but I got to tell you, folks, God's people are the best people on earth. And listen, hear me good. They'll be the only people in heaven. They're the only ones going. God's people. And I'm going to be there with them. I can't wait to be there with them. I'm going to see some old soldiers who have passed on that I miss. You're going to get to see Brother Warren again in heaven. I'm going to see some people like Elsie Scholl, who I think so much of, who I haven't seen in years. Dan Mayfield and Doug Earhart, and you can think of some people that you're going to see there, and you're going to be with them forever. And folks, I just can't wait for that reunion. Can't wait. And I won't have to wait very long. Just the twinkling of an eye. That's what my life is going to be like. Last reason why I want to go to heaven. And folks, let's not underestimate this one, please. The last reason why I do want to go to heaven is because I don't want to go to hell. And folks, really, it just boils down to those two choices. Those are my only two choices. Revelation 21 and verse 8, we read that passage. We read that verse. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I have one of two choices to make. I can walk the streets of gold, or I can burn in the lake of fire. Listen, is that really a choice? Don't we call that a no-brainer? Do we really have to think about that? Which do you choose? And you shouldn't have to think about it. And if you do, you need to do some soul searching and figure out what's going on in your life. Don't you want to go to heaven? That's where I'm going. Nothing in this world is going to keep me from getting there. Jesus made sure I have a way to get there. He is the one who paved that way. He went to prepare that place. He opened those gates for me. And I'm going to follow Him straight to heaven. And I just pray so much that you've decided that that's where you're going to go to. You know, that's the greatest news of all, really. It's not that I want to go to heaven. It's that I can go. I really can do it. I really get to go if I make that choice. And it's all about what I choose. Jesus took care of all the hard stuff for me. Because of Him, I can go. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus did His preparing. He went away to prepare us a place. Now it's up to us. We got to make sure we prepare ourselves so that we'll not miss that place. Oh, I just hope you've made that decision and you're making that preparation right now. Go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We'll sing number 613. Just a moment to give you a chance to obey the gospel this morning, to put Jesus on in baptism, to be saved, to be placed on the road that leads to the streets of gold. We could take care of that this morning. The choice is obvious. Where do you want to go when you die? Which do you want to do? Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? I'm not missing that for anyone or anything. You know that? I'm not going to let any relationship keep me from missing out on heaven. I'm not going to let any friend keep me from doing that. I'm not going to let any lover, any fun, any games, any job, no money, no drug, no drink, no nothing, no anything is worth losing heaven over. Are you ready to choose Jesus? When you decide to follow Jesus, you know what you've decided to do? You've decided to go to heaven. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. That's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Without Him, you'd have no hope for it anyway. He made it possible for us. He paved the way. He opened the gates. Are you ready to follow Him home? We're ready to help you. You come up here and you talk to me, and we're standing here in just a second, about what you want to do, whether you need to study further, whether you're ready to be baptized to put Him on and to start serving Him and start living a heaven-bound life. Anything we can do for you spiritually, that's what we're here to do this morning. So while we're standing and singing to your encouragement, you come up here and talk to me about what's on your mind.